evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2, Tango, 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 and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Okay, nothing heard. That's always a good thing. All right, everyone. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association runs a technical net. It's a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, electricity, computing, telecommunications, the natural phenomena that support these activities, our specific amateur radio activities, things that lied with our activities in the electronics or telecommunications or medical or whatever industries. Any technology that harkens back to the fundamental principles that we use as amateur radio operators is fair game for our conversation. You do not need to be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association to participate in the net. In fact, the only requirement is that you have an amateur radio license that allows you to operate in the 2-meter band in the United States. This net is available on the 146.955 megahertz Alpine repeater operated by the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. And it's also available via Echolink at Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet -L. Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet -L. And we hope that you'll participate. This net has another characteristic. You need not be a super techie geek to participate. Number one, there's no question that should be left unasked, because that is the dumbest question of all, because you didn't ask it. Number two, you might want to make a comment about something that just you've always wanted to do or have done in the past or are doing now that intrigues you, and you just want to see what other people think. Don't be shy. It's very important to participate and just bring up subjects. And lastly, you might not have a question or a comment for the net, and we still want you to check in because we might want to ask you your opinion. Don't get scared away by that thought. But we might want to know something about your perspective in amateur radio. And so by checking in, we can find that out if it's topically relevant. So with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. Okay, we check into this net by giving your name, or your call sign, your name. And then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Remember, even if you don't have a specific question or comment for the net, your presence might be helpful to others. And we hope that you will jump in. And again, you need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Just like your time around our campfire, as it were. So with that in mind, let's get cracking. Let's see. The stations who check in, we do this by call sign group as well. So let's try this. Stations whose call sign begin with the letter A for Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Okay, nothing heard. How about stations whose call sign begin with Whiskey?
This is W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Evening, Don with a comment. Very, very good. Are there any other stations with the letter Whiskey at the beginning of their call sign? Please call K2BAR.
Whiskey 2, Charlie Hotel, Ray, none of the above. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, Mr. Ray. Alrighty. Any other whiskeys?
W2LCN, my name is Rick. No questions, no comments.
Yeah, good evening, Rick. That's twice in a day. Glad you're in here. Good for you. Hearing you. W2LCN, K2BAR. All right, any other whiskeys? Alrighty, let's move on. How about the Kilo 2s?
Echo India Romeo.
Hi, Howie. Will you have questions, comments, or confusion tonight?
Yeah, Mobile. I'll just quickly state it. It might be easier. I'm looking for anyone who's read Jerry Sevick's book on understanding and building balance and unum.
Okie dokie. All right, we'll get to that rather interesting work by Jerry Sevick. Okay, very good. Any other Kilo 2s? How about other Kilos?
KB2TRW. Hi. Good evening.
Good evening, Kai. Good to hear you. Good to hear you. Will you be issuing questions or comments tonight, or are you just checking in?
I'm just checking in. No specific questions or comments. I'm looking to
Okay, very good. Welcome aboard. Alrighty. Any other Kilos?
AC2NKU Marilyn. No questions, no comments, and my hip is coming along. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Very good. Very, very good. Alrighty, any other Kilos? Okay, how about Novembers?
This is November 2, Oscar Echo Lima. No questions. No comments.
Killing me. That's 2 out of 3 weeks you did this to me. Hi, hi. All right, Noel, good evening. Any other stations with November calls? There was a station there, but you are just frightfully weak. You were just tripping the repeater. You weren't actually getting in. So want to try that again?
NS from the office. No questions.
Okay, Jim, I got NS2K. No questions. I wonder where the hell... Oh, I know where you were. You were at the course probably tonight. All right, very good. We'll hear from you later when you get mobile after the course is over for the evening. Alrighty, any other stations? Any call sign?
November 1, STU, Stewart. No questions, no comments.
Good evening, Stewart. And 1 STU, got it. Any other Novembers? I should have a comment for you later, Stewart, just hang in. Any other Novembers or any other call signs?
WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Amy Charles, okay, very good. Any other check-ins for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net? Brady, well, boy, what a great collection here. First things first, let's go to a couple of comments and questions, and then we'll take some additional check-ins and go to some additional topics that are being floated. W2JEK, your commentary, sir, K2BAR.
Hi, K2BAR and the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everyone. Tomorrow night is the VARA's next DE test session. It'll be at 7 o'clock at the Westwood Regional High School, 701 Ridgewood Road. And find those people who are taking the studying for extra that the question pool will change as of July 1st. They have to get a whole new set of books and start studying all over again if you don't test what you're studying now. And I will probably try to have another test session going on the 28th to accommodate the class that Rachel is running over in Fairlawn. I'll be more particulars on that later on in the future. With that, back to net, W2JEK.
Hey, Don, let's just reaffirm the time. It's Westwood High School in Washington Township. At what time?
7 p.m.
Okay, very good. Just making sure everybody got to hear that very clearly. And that's great. Anybody have any questions for Don regarding testing? any closing comments?
No, thank you.
Very well, thank you for doing that. That's pretty cool. Alrighty. Now, let's see. Howie, you had a question regarding W2FMI Jerry Sivek's work on balance and unens. Was there something specific that you were concerned about that you wanted to know?
I guess I wanted to know whether it was going to be too esoteric and not worth buying. I basically sent an email to my family and said, this is my Father's Day present, order it. We'll see what happens. They often don't feel capable of ordering on their own. So I'm just now anticipating it and wondering whether, oh yeah, this is a good book to have or not. You know, is it going to be too formal, too out of the ordinary of what I would be doing? I mean, most of us just go out and buy a Ballon, and I realize one of the things about this book is that, you know, you could get different ratios. You know, once you understand it, you can roll your own to any ratio you need.
Yeah, no, I've seen some of your interests in other topics. I don't think it's above your head.
Esoteric, I'm not saying is it above, you know, is it, you know, all formula and unreadable. I'm just thinking, is it going to really be practical in terms of what I might do? You know, what a technically interested hand would do, you know, or is it so far out on the fringe that, you know, only some situations, you know, rather unusual situations would you want to refer to it?
Well, no, I don't think it's quite that odd, but anyway, I think you might want to take a shot at it. I think you'll be very, very happy with the family getting you that. Anyway, so just, you know, give it a, you know, let them get it for you. I mean, what the heck? I mean, you know, really. Actually, what I want for my Father's Day present is one of those UV5Rs, but preferably in red. But black is fine. Yellow, they don't make yellow, unfortunately. But the UV5 looks pretty cute. So what the heck? Alrighty, and that's less than $50 shipped to your door from Hong Kong. It's amazing. Amazing how cheap a 5-watt handy talkie has become. But you can bet about a third of that, or if not 40% of the cost, is shipping. It's that amazing. Even by the Postal Service. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments on Jerry Sivek stuff? W2FMI. Anybody have any thoughts, questions, concerns? Alrighty. Well, we'll try something else here. What you may want to do is, if you have an old copy of the antenna book or an old copy of the handbook, start with those chapters that deal with balance. And also look for a transmission line section and impedance matching and things like that, all those pieces of those books. So I think you'll find that to be helpful as well. And that might brace you for a more effective read of whatever he's written in long form.
Okay, well, I don't think I'll wait. I will ask the family to get it, because I think I'm going to ask them to get it on CD, so it'll be cheap. Thank you, Gordon. I'm just about home now. I just have to get the car in the garage, and it'll be on the HT till I get to the apartment. This time I decided to take the HT, because I knew the net would be on while I was out. Thank you. W2TTT, here is K2EIR Mobile.
Okay, no problem.
Alrighty, you know, we've had a lot of conversations lately about balance, but mostly balance, because of the intense desire to use, balanced feed line from various forms of dipoles, whether they be center-fed or off-center-fed. We've had a particularly attractive conversation about off-center-fed dipoles lately, and if anyone needs a review of that, we can more than happily summarize that. Several of us can help. Let's see what else. I don't know. Looks like I might have to put 10 more feet underneath one of my towers to clear the mulberry bush that's growing up underneath the mast that's at 35 feet holding up the end of my dipole. It's going to end up being at 45 feet because my one neighbor just can't figure out how to prune a tree. So we'll see how that's going to play out. What else? I don't know. I do have some comments about FL Digi and stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute. Alrighty. Any other questions, comments about transmission systems, feed systems, antennas, etc.? Alrighty. Alright, well, Howie, I think we're going to put the ribbons on that topic and go to the next one, okay?
Hey, let me make a quick comment, okay?
Absolutely.
I just want to mention that the ARRL website, the column surfing, there are a couple of links in there. One of them is to a link of a YouTube video of the KX3 hooked up to an iPad using its SDR mode and apparently a free software app for SDR. It's very cute, even though it's expensive. If you haven't taken a look at it, I suggest you do. Thanks. W2TTT from K2EIR.
Okay, this is the KX3 with some external software, and the software wasn't expensive. The KX3 was, right?
KX3 and the iPad. It's a cute combination to make it a software-defined radio with visual and all that.
Oh, absolutely. Any of the tablets are just awesome for that kind of stuff. So let's review a little bit. If you have a what is a KX3? KX3 is something that looks like the control head of a mobile radio. It's a fully contained HF radio. Runs 5 watts off of an internal battery or 10 watts off of an external supply. It has an antenna jack on the right side with a BMC. And it's got a tuning knob, and it's got audio controls, and IQ controls, or output leads on the left side. What else does it have? It's got a built-in antenna tuner. It has a optional 100-watt amplifier module available for it. And, you know, if you buy all different options, it's quite pricey, but it's probably the slickest little QRP rig or regular radio that's come along in a long time. It allows you to have software-defined radio functionality with a real front panel in one little place. It gives it the QRP mode. You can strap it to your right backpack strap, and if you're right-handed, operate the radio with paddles that are mounted to the front of the actual radio itself. The KX3 is really quite impressive. Really, really is. And they're finally being released one by one, so that's kind of neat. Run the digital modes with an iPad, and use the software-defined radio-type functionality, as Howie was mentioning, to modulate and demodulate through the IQ interface. That's pretty awesome. And very, very attractive. So you just basically bridge over an audio cable. That takes care of the audio in and out, and I don't know how they're doing the transmit, other than maybe aux, but whatever. Maybe USB, but, well, I don't know how you do USB off of an iPad. It's a whole other thing. It's not fun to do, but whatever. But anyway, it's a very, very attractive combination, and actually plays well into our next topic, which we'll get to in a minute, but anybody else have any comments about this?
K2VAR, K2OR.
Robert, welcome aboard. Are you checking in?
Yes, sir, checking in and just monitoring the frequency, just listening out.
Okay, Robert, good to hear you. Thank you for checking in tonight. So the KX3 is another one of these QRP, like the KX1 and the KX, the K3 and the K1, I think it's the K2 as well. But the, all these various QRP radios, it's really slick. Smaller than the K3, and a little more functionality maybe in some respects. But anyway, so what I like about it is that you can take the audio in and out, do an SDR modulation, demodulation, filtering function on your iPad or on your laptop or netbook or Android phone or whatever. But then what you can do is you can take one step further and you know, make the whole thing a really, really tight, portable package. And you don't have to carry a lot of weight around. You know, everybody knows with less than 10 watts of power, sometimes even less than 5 watts of power, PSK31 signals go all over the world very effectively. So at that point, it really comes down to how good an antenna can you put it on, or put on it, and go from there. So that's something to think about as well. A couple of months back, I guess 2 months back, there was an article in QST about using a specialized interface to hook up your PC, hook up your Android phone or your iPad to a radio. And so that idea was also in parallel pioneered by N3UXK and others around here. So much so that we made it actually simple. We were using FLDigi to essentially send any number of the interesting advanced digital modes. And we were exchanging files and typing sessions and things like that with our forward error correction using MT63 and a few other digital modes, PSK31, etc. So all we did there was we acoustically coupled our computers to our radios. So whatever came out of the speaker went into the microphone and vice versa. So it's kind of neat. So this other system had it hardwired, but no reason why we couldn't do that over here. Okay, so a lot of guys worked the VHF contest last weekend and will be working the field day a week from Saturday. And Barra's official logging program for contests now is N1MM. If you are using PSK31 or any of the other digital modes built into that logging program, it automatically hooks in and links to and logs and does all of that nonsense with FLDigi. The FLDigi engine is built into the logging software for that N1MM package. So keep that in mind. It's very, very good. Just kind of curious, does anybody have any experiences from this past weekend's VHF contest? Well, one of the things I do want to emphasize is that we were able to, you know, without using a rig blaster or all these very fancy digital interfaces, take a VHF handy talkie, just hold it up in front of the speaker of our computer, and be able to transmit good, clean, you know, data. Of course, decoded as well. You don't need much. So is there anything else people would like to discuss tonight? Alrighty. Well, that's it for this evening. Anybody have any comments about upcoming HamFest? Alrighty, well, are there any late check-ins for the net this time?
KC2 UNH.
KC2 UNH, go ahead.
Just one small comment about the VHF contest. I was actually trying to make it up, but I ended up camping underneath it in the sky camp. And by the time I actually got out of the skies, got rid of everyone. Trying to make it back up, all I heard was KO2 okay on the way home. So maybe next time.
Okay, very good. What is your name, sir?
Paul?
Okay, Paul, very good. Yeah, that's a good comment. So you were in the Alpine Scout Camp up the off 9W?
Yeah. Although I didn't have access to radios to monitor what you were, you guys were on about.
Okay, were you in the New York Alpine Camp or were you in the Northern Jersey Council Camp?
I'm in Northern New Jersey Council, but it was Camps Park, you know, groups from all over.
Yeah, let me try to ask the question differently. Did you go in from the 9W side or did you go in from the Paramount Road side?
The 9W side.
So you went to, you were in New York Alpine. Okay, very good. That's great. What did the Packard trip be associated with?
I'm with Pack 111, which is Harrington Park.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Very, very good. Tom Betancourt was or is Scoutmaster of that troop. And he's a good guy. Very, very good guy. Does a mean, mean pork roast over a campfire, by the way. You want to get that recipe. Take a pork loin and a pork roast. Oh, my Lord. Oh. He salts the whole thing and does all sorts of other things to it and then throws it in the fire, as is. It's amazing. So, stand in mind. Paul, just for reference, I'm Scoutmaster Troop 139 in Bergenfield in St. John's. Bergenfield has two scout troops and two packs currently. And one, two, at least two Venture Cruisers that I know of. The Venture Cruiser basically chartered out of the same place as one of the troops and packs. But anyway, very good. Actually, there's quite a bit of scouting history in this group as I look down the list. Alrighty. Very, very good. And if you ever want to do communicator for the Weeblos or the radio elective or the electricity elective for the, you know, any of the Cubbies, let me know. I'd be happy to help you set that up and work with you to do that program for your PAC or your DEN, as the case may be. Anyway, what else? In fact, Paul, I'm going to make a note. There's going to be a meeting on the 20th of June at St. John's at Bergenfield of Council Scouters interested in doing scout radio things. So let me make that announcement now. We're waiting for the email to go out from the council email list, but there's going to be a meeting of the Northern Jersey Council Scouters, that's Bergen, Passaic, Essex, and Hudson counties, although others are welcome, and we're going to talk about our amateur radio activities related to all level of scouting participants. So we're having a meeting on that. It'll be at 7, I think we said, 7 o'clock. Over at St. John's and Bergenfield at the Parish Life Center. If anyone's interested, just shoot me an email, w2ttt@awrl.net. Alrighty. Anybody else?
KB2TRW, comment?
Yeah, KB2TRW, go ahead, guy. You're another one. Pack 123 guy from Dila.
Yep. The comment I have is, I think in the beginning when you would you were discussing the UV-5R, just music that you wanted a different color. Just as a point of information, if you want to order a different color, you may want to hold off on that because I'm not sure if you've been keeping track of the forms. That there was a there was a firmware change, and that the firmware change are probably propagated on the black ones, on the color ones, where they don't move as much. They may have the old firmware, and if you find that you have the old firmware, it might cost a bit of a postage to send a shipping back and forth to and from Hong Kong. That's my comment.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. So, when is the new firmware due to be put in?
The firmware, I understand, is actually in place in the black model, which is the one that's sold the most. As far as the colors go,
Now, I'm really not sure. Now, it probably depends on the reseller. It probably depends on whether they move it quickly enough. And also, like I said, because the colors don't move as quick as quickly, it's really a crapshoot.
Well, that's a really smart observation. Thank you. I was thinking just getting the red ones just so that I'd be able to find my radios. But yeah, maybe that's a good point. Maybe we do want the black ones. Tony Antos IQ ordered his last Friday, and it arrived yesterday, so I'm thinking I might want to order one tomorrow. We'll see. We will see. We'll go from there. I think it would make a marvelous idea for some of the boys. But we'll see. All right. I'll keep that in mind. Kai, hopefully you're on the council email list as well. 7:30 on the 20th, Parish Life Center, main level, which is the building to the south of St. John's Church on Washington Avenue in Bergensville. If you'd like to come, love to have you. And we've got quite an agenda, sort of a rather lengthy agenda, but we're going to cherry pick it a little bit, see where the interest lies, and go from there. About doing scout radio programs in general. Same offer goes to you and your pack or your den. If you want some help from that offer, it's kind of neat. Alrighty. And by the way, one good thing about electives, they don't have to be in the book. You can make them up, but you can also take one from another level and use it in a different one. As long as you make it adequately challenging and not too overbearing for the kids, you can mix and match electives all day and night. Remember, Cub Scouting is do your best. Not do it now, damn it. Alrighty. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, are there any other check-ins other than that? Just call K2BAR. Okay, just a reminder that, as Don said, that the test session is tomorrow night at Westwood High School. There'll be another test session on 28th, I think he said. For those who want to take the extra or anything else, actually, but the extra 29th, I guess, between the 28th and Thursday. That's right. The extra class is a Thursday night course being done right now by Rachel, AJ4WD, and Don and his crew will be providing an examination session that night, so even if you're not an extra candidate, you can certainly come and either upgrade or get your license, so that's fine, too. And Daniel Seeker is there tomorrow night if you're still listening. He's had limited time to study, but he's taking practice tests as we speak, so hopefully that will polish him up. And, I have a question for Noel if he's there. Noel, we talked a little bit about those power modules. Did you have a chance to order them today? Over? Well, maybe not. Okay. All right. What we're referring to is one of the vendors online had a really cool deal for a 150-watt. Takes 8 volts in and gives you up to 35 volts out switching power supply, so you can use it to make sure that you stabilize the power supply voltage for a radio or to provide something greater than 12 volts, say 16, 18, 19, whatever, for a laptop. You can even use it for, things require 24, 28 volts. There's all sorts of opportunities to use that, so that's all good. He found the modules pretty cheap. They're like $59, but they come with 4 power poles. One is the input and 3 are output. So you get a little rig runner-like thing. It's not a rig runner product of somebody else's, but the concept is very much the same with 3 ports all boosted. So it's pretty cool. Alrighty, anybody else? Okay, when those come in, we'll give you a full technical report on those. They're from Grumpy, whatever, this guy Grumpy Online or something, I think.
And by the way, the vendor I found for the VX5R, I'm willing to take other suggestions, was RadioShop888.com. They're in Hong Kong, and their prices are listed as shipped prices using, you know, standard postal service from the post office in Hong Kong. As I said, Sony N2S IQ ordered his Friday, and it came with not bad. His radio sounds awesome. It's VX5R sounds absolutely awesome. Alrighty, any other comments, questions, confusions, or check-ins for the metaphysical VTPAR? Alright, well, I want to thank everybody for their participation tonight. A little more abbreviated than it was last week. Last week was pretty long, and that was kind of cool. So I wish everyone well. Have a great night. 6 meters has been open a lot, so don't miss out on that as well. And even 2 meter Saipan and 2 meter Vana have been open on Simplex, so don't be a stranger to that opportunity space either. So this is KWAR thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. It's W2TTT, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.
W2TTT, KV2BRW.
Howdy.
I just wanted to add comment about the Radio Shop 888, the place that you plan to order from. I believe there's a number of shops in the Hong Kong area that they all sell pretty much the same thing. And I believe I'm not sure if you're ordering direct or if you're ordering through eBay, but I know on eBay there's a number of vendors where they may have different names, but when you actually order from them, they all point to the same place. And I think Radio Shop 888 is one of them. In fact, the rig that I'm on right now is a UV3R. It's the really tiny one. I have it going to a J-pole that's in my attic. So I'm not sure how well that you're receiving it, but no, I'm not on a. This is my my fixed home unit.
Yeah, wow. So Kai, how do you power the radio?
Are you talking about the UV3R?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the I'm actually powering it just by the batteries that came with it, and I actually picked up some of those at a Radio Shack when they were doing a closeout of those same type of batteries. I picked two of them up, $1.99 apiece.
Okay, those are the 1800 milliampere hour Nokia batteries.
They are the, it has some generic name, but it was, it's a Fuji NT60, November Papa 60.
Right, so if you're using the NT60s, those are the cell phone batteries.
Well, anyway, I get pretty good life out of them. If I have average use, they actually last almost 2 days. And then when I basically charge one, and I use the other one, so I constantly have ready power source. So I'm actually pretty happy with it. Okay.
Yeah, how do you charge the battery outside the radio?
I actually have a video camera that I bought a few years ago. It just turned out that that the video camera charger uses the same battery and the same charger. So when I'm not using the video camera, that's the a captive charger.
Oh, how lovely. Okay. Very, very, very nice. Very, very nice. That certainly gets you where you want to go. Anyway, I don't know what happened. I was on a conference call this morning that never happened. Unfortunately, someone's cranky with me, but hey, I stayed, I waited 15 minutes and no one showed up, so heck with that.
Wow.
it's been an exciting day today. Took my mother to the, I took my mom to the doctor today, and
therefore was taking all my calls, conference calls and information on another email account on my mobile phone, which is my office number. And most people caught up with me that way, but it seems a few slipped through the cracks today, which is a good thing. But I wasn't annoyed.
Sounds to be able to take the calls from your cell phone. I personally can only take so many calls before I get very, very tired, because it's just the intelligibility of the cell phone is just not very good, at least from my perspective. Okay.
Oh, well, you know, you've been pretty lucky. I have more trouble with people using speakerphones on their phone, whether it's their cell phone or mostly fixed phones, in rooms that are acoustically challenging, or people who have acoustically challenged voices. You know, the people that talk like this and they have an echoey room, and all of a sudden they raise their voice and you have no idea what they said.
I hear you right there. Over.
I promise, Kai, I won't do that again.
Yeah, also another comment about the UE5Rs. I'm not sure if you're aware that the U.S. dealers are starting to stock them, albeit I believe they're about $10 more. But I think the advantage to that is, I believe on the stuff that's being stocked by the U.S. distributors, they have the appropriate FCC 490 stickers now, if people care about that. I actually plan to pick one up tonight from one of the U.S. based dealers. Over.
Okay, so let's review that a little quick. So, did you mean it had a Part 97 sticker or a Part 90 sticker?
It's a Part 90 sticker with the FCC ID, just as it's laid out on the certification document. Okay.
Ah, you said 90. That's good. Part 90 has all sorts of opportunities, as I'm sure you understand. What I liked about the UV5R is that it's effectively narrowband. It will do 2.5 kc steps. It will do narrowband signals, all sorts of good stuff like that. So I think that there's a lot of potential for that radio.
Well, yeah, the narrowband waveform is narrowband FM waveform is concerned. I believe all the ones that are coming out of China right now, they all do narrowband. As far as the 2.5 kc, that is something new, especially for the price class. Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm getting a few giggles about? Watching the Chinese manufacturers out-cannibalize the other ones.
Yeah, the market is very cutthroat there. I actually had the opportunity to China about 3 years ago, and they have these marketplaces. Now, they don't have shops, they have marketplaces, a lot like the jewelry center, where you walk in, it's a marketplace with all these different tiny little vendors, and as far as the two-way radio goes, they take up almost the entire floor of one of these marketplaces, and supposedly they're expanding at a very high rate, at least back then. And that, along with the CCTV market, is actually also displacing whatever space that the personal computer or the desktop type market is just emptying out. Okay.
Yeah, you know what's kind of amusing about the CCTV stuff that's interesting is, when is the mainland Chinese government going to figure out that they may be watching their population, but the population is now watching them and their network?
I have no doubt that they're aware of this. I think the only difference is that the so far, I guess, the quality and the capability of the domestic manufacturer goods is at a level that they're not worried that they're being monitored, because I believe the government buys the so-called the best stuff, and that best stuff comes from the States and Europe.
I understand that. But you see, when the state is watching and it's being watched while watching, you know, that, you know, there are only so many Tiananmen squares that that regime can handle before the population is just going to say, forget it, we're not going to tolerate certain things anymore. You know, although Russia had things like that happen, and look at that, they rebelled against the oligarchs, and now the oligarchs are the old party apparatchiks. You know, what's wrong with this picture? The Chinese have solved that problem. They have the combination of, they have the competing and somewhat, you know, somewhat competing and somewhat cooperative forces of the PLA and the party, you know, vying for economic as well as political power, but economic power and only maintaining political power for the express purposes of extending their economic power.
Yeah, that's always a very interesting symbiosis. You never understand and probably don't want to understand. WTTTT, maybe 2DRW.
Yeah, it's an interesting place. Anywho, it's about 24 years ago, it'd be 24 years in November, I was in Tokyo for a week or so, doing business with Nippon Telephone, and I was there for actually almost 2 weeks, and it turns out that I had a letter of introduction from someone at the League. It was from Paul Rinaldo at the League, who was at the time the chief technical officer for the ARRL, and a former former federal employee in his own right, and you know, working for three-letter agencies. And then later on, he actually was moved back down to the D.C. area from Connecticut and became the ARRL's one of their lobbying team, like a better term. He also would represent the League on standards issues, telecommunication standards and issues. And he gave me a letter of recommendation to this executive in my telephone, who, as it happened, was a ham. The reason why he gave it to me is because he was a ham, and it's also official in the Japan Amateur Radio League. So we had this, I made the advanced, you know, connection based on the letter of introduction. I said, oh, would you come, please, let's have, you know, supper one evening. So we did that. Much to my amazement, he invited me to his home in the suburbs. So the country manager, the company I work for, I've been there for about 4 years, and was very upset that I was having a home visit, a personal visit related to ham radio, and, you know, was very concerned that we betray company secrets, blah, 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 and this and the other thing. But his real concern was that he'd been there for 4 years and had never been in a Japanese home.
Yeah, and the, I think it's the ham radio affiliation that, that brings a lot of folks together, because I know that in Japan, says space is very tight. Space, even if one is well off and well to do, bringing one to the home is a very special event. So I can understand why that he was a little bit miffed at that. Over.
Totally ticked off. Well, what's funny, you know, anytime you have a meeting with a company that you're doing business with, especially on the international stage, you write a contact report, you know, it's written in a very straightforward manner. It's kept highly proprietary to the company. The company may decide to share it with the embassy. It goes on and on and on. Not so much. Well, basically, it was in time when, this is back in the late 80s, when everybody was concerned about the balance of trade between the United States and Japan. And so this was a move by telephone to buy technology and expertise from my company. And so I was over there as part of a six-month project, actually a year project, and to really present in person, you know, an outline of how they should go do certain things. You know, it was high-speed data service of a particular type that had different, should we say, implementation models and different marketing models, and how you would tailor them to the offering. But it was very, very advanced for its time, and they really, their eyeballs popped when we showed them how to do it, how to put it into the standards process, how to evolve the standards process in parallel with what you need to do that may not be standardized yet, and how to migrate from one to the other at the time. You know, those kinds of strategies. So it was kind of interesting. I mean, I was pretty young in where I work at the time, and as a relatively new employee, and it really shocked them. But I've been in the business for 10 years plus, so it wasn't like I was a newbie, but it was a lot of fun to do, and I had a great time over there doing that. But going to Akihabara, which is what I wanted to get to, was another side trip of that, and again, you know, other than to buy a washing machine or a microwave oven, none of the people I worked with in my company had ever been there for any other purpose. They didn't know about the components and other kinds of electronics.
I actually was out visiting Japan for a few days. This was in late June 1990, and I was in I spent a few hours in Akihabara. In fact, I remember visiting a store called Laux, LAOXX, and they have, you know, each floor is all different appliances, and one floor they had computers, and that's when I actually looked at and actually touched and, you know, played with the keyboard of a workstation called Next. I don't know if you remember that, but what I wanted to point out is that what they had in Japan, everything was very, very advanced, and I remember even back then they had the automated electronic parking meters that flashed red when time expired. Also, they had sensors under the pavement that if the...
God, you went away. They had sensors under the pavement, and then you dropped.
He said itself. Over.
Sorry, you had sensors under the pavement, then you dropped. I missed the rest.
Yeah, they had sensors under the pavement that detect the presence of vehicles, so if the vehicle left the space, the meter would reset itself.
Oh, slick. Yeah. Well, I didn't drive in Japan, except in taxi cabs. That was the other thing I noted a little odd. I mean, I was a New Yorker, and I'd lived in Paris for 5 months when I was in high school, so yeah, I've been used to foreign transit systems. I, of course, have been on Boston T and the like over time, too, and the CTA in Chicago, of course. But I must say, the trains didn't surprise me, because I'd been forewarned and seen the pictures in the magazines of, you know, station attendants cramming people into the subway cars and shoving the doors closed. I mean, I got all that. But what really surprised me is people would pile into taxi cabs that way, too.
Oh, actually, what really surprised me over there is... not so much the piling into the subway cars, but that everything is so immaculate, and despite all the people getting packed into the subway cars, I remember riding the metro, and I didn't drive, but in the metro they had advertisements, they had, you know, the posters upon trains, but they also had hanging posters hanging from the ceiling of the car, and you would think that all these packing all these people in, now they'd be destroyed. But every one of them are intact. None of them fell to the ground. So I thought that was surprising. FTPTT, KB2DRW.
2EIR.
Oh, you good?
I'm not going to, I don't want to throw up your conversation. I do want to tell you that I just sent an email with the YouTube video that I mentioned earlier on the net, you know, the URL to go to YouTube and see it when you want to, if you haven't seen it already. I'm going to read the mail. In fact, actually, I need, now that I see it's 10 o'clock, I need to say 73. I guess this is hit and run because I have to get up early. So I'm going to turn off the rigs and try to actually go to sleep. So I just wanted to get that little message through about the KX3. Fascinating conversation, gentlemen. Back to you, Gordon, 73, K2EIR.
Awesome. Thank God for raising the subject, but okay, very good. No problem, Howie. Thank you for that, that video. I will share it with whoever is interested. That's pretty cool. Not only are the subways immaculate and things are unblemished, but no one cuts the stuff down and takes it and puts it on their bedroom wall.
I think so. I believe, yeah, people, I guess they buy it or, no. I think really because the space is so small and so precious in that, I don't know what you saw in the private residence that you, that you were invited to, but I was staying at the private residence of one of my dad's friends, and you know, he was a fairly highly ranked executive, and what he had, he had the apartment in Tokyo City, but he had three rooms, and all those three rooms, they were all convertible, meaning that during the day they were just regular rooms, and the beds weren't pulled out until one goes to sleep at night, and during the day they pull out the desks and things like that, so everything's all retractable.
Yeah, well, the gentleman who I was visiting had built a house in a new area outside the city, and in fact, you could still. I remember taking the train. I was really surprised, by the way. One of my. I mean, I prepped quite a bit in Japanese customs and Japanese business customs, and you know, of course, I knew the geography pretty well. And I because I'm just linguistically inclined, I picked up on a few basic words. You know, maybe a few dozen words. And I could read them too, which helped. And of course, maybe another dozen place names. I still probably recall most of that, at least in the the katakana or kanji, depending on what it is. You know, but anyway, I was still surprised how I could pick up on that at all, because like. When you're going on I took the subway to a regular train station. They got on a regular rail to go to his home, and it was a Sunday, so it was, it was fine, very busy. I remember I had to change trains to go to a different line. I had to work all that stuff out, and of course I did, and got there just fine. But there were rice paddies across the road from the housing tract he lived in. Now, he lived in a single-family home, but it was a row house kind of affair, and he had a three-story house that wasn't very wide, and, oh, by the way, he had a tri-bander on top, along with a satellite array on separate support and all sorts of things, so he wasn't living in a house where he had to convert rooms. That was not happening, but he was a VP for Nippon Telephone, so he was not exactly... poor man.
Yeah, sounds like if you have a separate inflation level like that, it is very, very up, very, very low off.
But actually, Gordon,